This is The Final Word.
Good evening, I'm Albie Oxenreiter, and welcome to the always edgy Final Word. We invite you into the conversation right here on Channel 11 every Sunday night. And with that, let's get started with tonight's three panelists. We welcome from our partner, DKPittsburghSports.com, Chris Carter. Hi, Chris.
What's up, Albie? It's good to be back, even though the Steelers are on a bye week.
All right. Also on the panel tonight, Steelers radio host from the Trib, Tim Benz.
Albie, if that Penguins game was allowed to continue one more period last night, I bet you the Pens outscore Clemson and Penn State combined.
And from DKPittsburghSports.com, Mr. Dale Lawley.
At least they would have outscored them what Penn State scored in that overtime, or nine overtimes, as it were, Tim. We'll talk about this later, but that's an abomination.
Yeah, what's up with that? Some of the topics we're talking about tonight, we're looking for five words on the battle for the AFC North. Pitt football now ranked 17th. What's the ceiling for this year's Panthers? What's been your favorite part of the Penguins' start this season? And yes, we'll jump into that overtime debacle. Nine overtimes, Penn State and Illinois. What's the best OT format that college football and perhaps the NFL should adopt? Plus, of course, your final word. But first, the night's big topic. What are your expectations for the Steelers after this bye weekend? Chris, you're first.
It still matters what's about to happen in the next few games. They got the Browns. They got the Lions coming up. They got the Bears coming up. These are all games that, with the Browns situation that they're currently in, the Steelers need to win. If they come through this game, they're able to continue establishing the run game that they've continuously improved over the last few weeks. The defense is able to play closer to the style of football that they were expected to play this year. They could be staring 6-3 in the face and be looking at a good situation to head into the rest of the season. But if they drop one or two of these games, or all three of these games, it's going to be a nightmare scenario, and the Steelers will be in a lot of trouble.
Tim?
Yeah, my expectation coming out of the bye is that they'll be 5-4 in the first three games after the bye. I think they'll win two of three. I think they'll beat the two NFC teams, and I think they're going to lose against Cleveland up there. I was feeling differently about that going into the Denver game, but I saw how the Browns adjusted with limited players, and I bet some of those players come back. So my vibe on it is the Steelers lose their next game in Cleveland, then win at home against the two NFC teams.
All right, and Dale.
It depends on who's playing for Cleveland, quite frankly. I mean, we don't know. They've got basically the walking wounded MASH unit up there right now. I have no idea who they're going to have back. Baker Mayfield may try to force his way into the lineup and try to play in this game. I think that would be a big mistake for him. Brock Osweiler, not Osweiler, whoever they've got starting.
Same guy.
Yeah, whichever ridiculous backup they have now is better than Baker Mayfield is right now with the wounded wing.
All right. And a reminder, keep those comments coming. You can find us on Twitter at WPXI Final Word, on Facebook at The Final Word. And now it's time for five words. Give us five words on the battle for the AFC North. Let's go to social media first. From Twitter, the best division in football. Also from Twitter, Steelers will still win it, but on the other side, Steelers will be in last. From Twitter, Chris, Tim, and Dale, five words on the battle for the division. Chris?
Bengals surprising, but still anyone's division, minus the butt, so it makes the five words there. But when I look at this situation, I look at how the Bengals have played, the way that they beat up on the Ravens. I didn't think that they could do this. I thought they could sneak in a couple wins. But Joe Burrow has remained poised. They have good defense right now. Jamar Chase has come on very quickly for them. He's proving, hey, he was worth the top five pick that he was. I'm just not so sure they can sustain this kind of dominance. They're a young team. We'll see how that plays out. The Ravens are still up in there. I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns have a surge back. Wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers have a surge back. I think this is going to be a four-team race all the way into December.
Chris, you really think that was five words?
It doesn't matter what I think.
That's six words there.
Everybody knows Chris can't count.
He's trying to do some subtraction there, yeah.
Tim, five words.
Wild card, Steelers only prayer. That's what I think. And you know what? That was probably the case once they started 1-3 anyway. But yes, the Cincinnati victory over Baltimore was eye-opening. I thought up until that point against the Ravens, the Bengals had done a nice job beating the teams that they were supposed to beat, could have beaten, and that's just a step forward for the Bengals. Then they go to Baltimore and do that. After Baltimore just had a statement game against the Chargers, yeah, that was eye-opening. And if you're looking for 50-50 games for the Steelers to win, to get themselves to maybe 9-10 games to get a wild card, boy, that road trip to Cincinnati after what Cincinnati did to Pittsburgh here earlier in the year, that game's suddenly looking less than 50-50.
All right, Dale, five words.
Bengals in the driver's seat. Look, they've already won two road games in the AFC North. They went to Pittsburgh and won, and they've gone now to Baltimore and won. So they got a 2-0 record. They've got, you know, four games left in the division, and three of them are at home. So, you know, you have to look at them as the favorite right now. I hate to look that far ahead, though, as Tim was just saying. That game's in, what, another month from now? Who knows who's going to be playing for who by that period? We've seen things change so quickly already this year with injuries and everything like that. So you just never know who's going to be on the field at those times.
Well, if Burrow gets hurt, what are they going to do? Bring back Ryan Finley? Then I know the Steelers are going to lose.
Anybody want to venture a guess on where the Steelers will finish at this point? What would be your guess, Chris?
I'd go second or third. I still think the Ravens step it up at some point in this season, and they win the division. Like I said, I'm not sold on the Bengals being a long-term really good team. They're playing really good football right now. That's undeniable. But I've seen a lot of young teams kind of fall apart or, you know, struggle and find different things going on. The Steelers, I think, can find a way to run the ball, and that'll be a part of their solution.
All right. Thanks, all. Pitt football now ranked 17th. What's the ceiling for the Panthers this year? Have to win a bowl game. Well, we'll hear what the panel says when the final word continues after this.
This is The Final Word.
Welcome back. I'm Albie Oxenrider. Tonight, in no particular order of greatness, Chris Carter, Tim Benz, Dale Lally. Dale, Pitt football up to 17 in the latest rankings. What's the ceiling, in your opinion, for this year's Panthers?
They've got to win the ACC. It's wide open right now. We just saw Clemson come in here and get beat. Wake Forest right now is the other team that's right there with Pitt. That's a beatable team. This is their year. If they're ever going to win the ACC, this is the year. You've got all the fifth-year seniors, including Kenny Pickett, or seventh-year seniors, or whatever these guys are at this point. Take advantage of this. Maybe you get some extra recruits out of it. These people saying win a bowl game. This isn't 1982. Unless you're in the national championship bowl games, it doesn't matter about bowl games. Who cares? Because Pickett might not even play in it.
All right, let's get back to Twitter. Getting to 10 or more wins and playing in a New Year's bowl. That's what Drew says. Chris Carter, you're next.
I mean, I agree with Dale. The ACC championship has to be part of the goal this year. Winning a game like they did against Clemson with all the recruits that were in town at Heinz Field watching, it was a very good first step. Even though Clemson's not Clemson of the past 6 years, they still have more five-star recruits on their team than the rest of the conference combined. That's the whole thing here, is that they got to go in, they got to show, hey, there's another team that can do damage in the ACC. If they win the ACC, then they get a major bowl game, a New Year's bowl game. I don't see them making the college football playoffs. There's just too many really good teams that haven't lost to a team from the MAC right now. But if they can win out, control their own destiny, go there, and they'll get a big bowl game, and then that will be the point. It's like, okay, can you beat this major Big Ten team, this major Big 12 team, or this major SEC team that you got matched up with? That's your ceiling I see for Pitt this year.
All right, Tim?
I agree with these guys more than I agree with the folks on Twitter who are talking about the bowls. I'm focused much less on the bowls and far much more on winning the ACC because to Dale's point, this is as open as it's ever been for Pitt with Clemson being down. They should be favored in their last five games, at least as of now, against the teams that they have in front of them. And then there's no reason why they can't beat Wake Forest or NC State on the other side. So I say focus on winning the ACC, be ACC champions. That's the ceiling I'm worried about for Pitt. And then the bowl game stuff kind of just takes care of itself.
How about they win the ACC and play Penn State in the bowl game?
Now Peach that would bowl, be right?
Don't you start that. Don't you start that.
Penn State would have to get themselves back into a relevant bowl because they're in trouble.
Yeah, Pitt's ranked above them right now after that overtime loss.
And their schedule's harder down the stretch.
Yeah, that schedule that they have coming up is not
brutal.
Easy.
Yeah, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, and Michigan State. Five games for the Penguins. They have yet to lose in regulation. Let's talk about that a little bit. Tim, it's a small sample, but what's been your favorite part of the Penguins' start this season?
Oh, the scoring. No doubt about it. The volume of goals that they've scored so far. I never thought that was possible. If you told me that they'd scratch their way to, you know, being above water level by the time Sidney Crosby came back, I would have said, well, great, that's good. How'd they do it? 2-1 every night? No, they're outscoring everybody. The only game that they had real trouble scoring was when Dallas decided to pack it in and just block shots all night. And it's not just been Sid and Geno being out. It's Letang, Rust, Gensel at times. You know, Jari for a minute, they thought they weren't going to have him, then he was able to play. Carter was out for this last game. The fact that they've scored as much without all these guys is really impressive and surprisingly fun to me.
All right, back to Twitter. Next man up is working. That could have worked for final word or for five words as well. All right, let's go on to Dale. What are you impressed with the Penguins start?
You know, you have to like how they're playing right now as a team without their top players. As Tim mentioned, they've been missing a lot of those guys, and a lot of those guys they're missing are their best guys. So, you know, they're getting contributions from across up and down their lineup. Where was this in the playoffs last year? Where, you know, this is what you, the kind of stuff that you need to have happen then, where you can't just all be on your stars. So you have to like, you know, that, not just what it serves now, where you're keeping your head above water, but what it could help you with down the road.
What's impressed you, Chris?
I mean, it's definitely the energy, like these guys are saying. They're getting points from guys that they didn't expect to get points from. I also thought that Jeff Carter, I thought that him stepping up, a lot of people, when they saw Crosby and Malkin weren't going to play, and Jeff Carter was going to be the first line center, and he was going to be the guy, I was like, man, he's going to be a leader. And in the early games, I thought, man, he's the key. He's the leader. He's keeping it all together. Then he wasn't out, and he scored seven goals. He was out, and he scored seven goals. It's ridiculous. But I you got to credit Mike Sullivan. He's doing a great job getting these guys to compete every single night and making sure that they're out there and, hey, they're going to put goals on the board and force the other team to have to be aggressive themselves.
Jari, just goes to show you, Carter never matters.
Jari, too, Albie. We can't forget about Jari and the way he's played pretty well out of the gates here after all the problems he had in the playoffs last year.
All right, thanks. If you think the NFL overtime format needs this some work, what do you think about the college OT format? Chris, after the 9 overtime debacle with Penn State, Illinois, what's the best OT format that you can come up with for college and maybe for the pros to accept?
It doesn't matter what I think on this topic, because they're going to keep the same formula. When you look at how they use this 2-point conversion situation, I like the original idea of college football is, hey, line up at the 25, just keep going for touchdowns. Actually have that going. The one after touchdown is ridiculous. But the biggest surprise of how that game played out was Illinois pounded Penn State into submission with its run game all game long. They were lining up with 7 linemen saying, hey, we're coming and running the ball. Penn State still couldn't stop it. And then they get to overtime and they throw 6 times in a row. I'm like, what are you doing? But Penn State still couldn't get in the end zone on their end, and they still lost to Illinois. I like the idea of giving both offenses an actual chance to get points, but not this way, which just coming down to 2-point conversions. That got to be way too much.
All right, what do you think of overtime changes? None. Ties are cool. Hashtag retro.
Lame.
All right, Tim gets his chance to chime in on this topic.
No, they aren't. Ties stink. Look, I know what the worst format is. That's baseball putting a imaginary guy on second base in extra innings. I despise that. So
yes.
Let's do that. When they go to the 2-point rule in college football.
Put a guy open in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly. Allow the offense to have a 12th guy in the field, just like baseball, since that was such a brilliant idea. And to that point, I kind of think that was what Illinois did on the game-winning touchdown. Did that guy just start in the end zone? How open was he and for how long? I'm sitting there in the press box watching that screaming, throw, end this, put us out of our misery for crying out loud.
Dale?
Yeah, he was open all day. I saw him crossing on my TV. And I'm like, there he is, throw it. But he couldn't even know if you could trust the quarterback there. I would take the ball and put it back at the 50 and say, okay, you got to move the ball here. If you get in the field goal range, you get in the field goal range, especially in the NFL where you got guys knocking down 60-yarders like they're, you know, it's like it's nothing. I would put it at the 50, play it out. If it's tied after that, it's tied. I'm sorry. That was an abomination. 2-point conversions. Who decided they were going to finish this game on 2-point conversions? And then they're going up and down the field, changing ends. That wasn't good TV. The plays themselves had everybody on the edge of their seats. But it's a 2-point conversion. You've got to be able to get 3 yards. And Penn State couldn't.
All right. Let's talk about what we're going to have coming up when we come back around the horn on any topic. The final word is next.
This is the final word.
Welcome back to the award-winning and curiously edgy final word. It's time now for the final word. Everybody gets a chance. Dale Lawley's first.
Oh, I get to go first. Great. You know, John Gruden stepped down as Raiders coach 2 weeks ago, and then last week did an interview with HBO where he said the truth about his emails will come out. Unless that truth includes him getting hacked by Russians, what could possibly exonerate him from what he said in those emails? Nothing. There's nothing there that could show him to be somehow not at fault here.
All right. Chris, final word.
A few weeks ago when Pitt beat Georgia Tech, I wrote about Kenny Pickett starting his Heisman campaign. I wasn't saying that he was going to win it, wasn't saying he was definitely in there, but I was saying, hey, there's going to be some talks that starts around that. Now, a few weeks later, Pitt has now beaten three straight ACC teams, all by double digits. You look at that and you got to say, man, Kenny Pickett and him putting these performances together, he's going to be in the conversations. Fourth in the country in touchdown passes, eighth in total yards, and they've now beaten Clemson on a national stage, and you saw him performing very well to do it. I'm not saying he definitely will be, but this is real talk of him being on the short list for Heisman candidates, not just hyperbole, not just Pitt fans saying wild things because we've heard wild things over the years, but this is real talk, and Kenny Pickett has deserved each and every second of it.
Yes, sir. All right, Tim, final word.
Two things for the Steelers that I want to see improve coming out of the bye. First and foremost on defense, I don't know if they can do anything about this, but they got to find an answer for missing Alualu and Tuitt along the defensive line. That's killing the Steelers right now, and that's a tough one to figure out how to fix. The other one on offense should be a little bit easier, and it just takes some guts. I know that trying to push the ball beyond the sticks is not the best thing for this offense right now in their head because the line can't hold up. The quarterback can't deliver the ball. The wide receivers can't get open to the right place. But they got to stop throwing the ball short of the yard to gain on third down so often. At one point against Seattle, they had completed four balls that were completions on third downs but short of the sticks, and they didn't get the first down. That's got to change coming out of the bye.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And our final word now from social media. Case Keenum beat the Broncos on Thursday night, the same Case Keenum that beat the Steelers not too long ago. Nobody should take this upcoming game in Cleveland lightly. That's from Brian on Facebook. I don't know how the season will end for Pitt. Will they get a shot in the ACC title game? Will they win it? Or will they seize the opportunity to play in a real bowl game? Can they run the table? All are possibilities for many reasons, but at the top of the list is the fact that the quarterback is legit. Kenny Pickett gives Pitt a chance to achieve all of the above, but even if the Panthers fall short of all of that, all of what I mentioned, they can still do something significant. Pitt has a good chance to be ranked in the final poll by AP, and that has only happened four times in the last 37 years. I'm Albie Oxenrider. Have a good night.